Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. Great to see you today. You've been greeted and welcomed in all of our campuses by campus pastors and campus hosts. I want to do the same. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and it's great to have you here. If you are a guest, thank you so much for trusting, coming to one of our services. I want to welcome Springboro to the south and Northmont campus to the north, Beaver Creek to the east, Classics that is joining us, those of you that are online, and all of you right here in Centennial. It's great to have you here this morning. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We're going to continue on in a series in just a second, but I think I need to go there. Chiefs or Eagles? I don't know. I need to go there, right? I mean, how many of you are for the Chiefs? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up high if you're for the Chiefs, all right? How many for the Eagles? We got some people for the, more for the Eagles. How many don't care? Yeah, look at that right there. That's pretty awesome. Well, the only reason why I bring it up is because the fact that one of my good staff friends who was on staff, you hardly ever see him publicly, but he runs all of our operations for all of our campuses and all of our finance teams and so forth. I mean, he does so much behind the scenes, you just can't imagine it. And he's a Chiefs fan. And so I had to mention it today. I want to give Ryan a shout out. He's on staff with us, and he's a big Chiefs fan. And so, I don't know, I hope they win because of Ryan, maybe, you know, right? Truth is, it's all about Taylor Swift anyway, so am I right about that? Yeah. All right. So if you are a guest with us, here's what we normally do. We normally ask you to take your Bibles or your devices and open them up, and we usually pick a passage of Scripture, and we read it, and we look at it, we try to understand it, we apply it to our lives, and we've been doing that, generally speaking, as we've been working our way through the book of Proverbs. It's right in the middle of your Bible. In fact, I've been challenging you that it'd be a great thing to start your year, that if you would read one chapter in Proverbs a day, you'd learn an awful lot. In fact, I could almost make you a guarantee that if you would read one chapter in Proverbs and just jot down some notes, and if you did that for two years, I'm telling you, you would have unbelievable wisdom in character, in categories like relationships, how to deal with your boss, dealing with your marriage if you're married, your finances, all kinds of things. It's absolutely amazing. And we have been picking topics, and the topic that I have today is all through the book of Proverbs. And so the truth is, we're not going to turn to one particular place. And so you can, if you want, set your Bibles to the side for a minute. But I'm going to do something that I haven't done in the decades of being a pastor. I'm going to take Proverbs and what Proverbs has to say to us, and I'm going to speak directly to parents about your kids. So if you're a grandparent, this is also for you. Truth of the matter is, this is for all of us, really, if you stand back. But the truth is, as we read Proverbs, you're going to see something over and over again. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon talks about our wealth. And the problem with the word wealth is most of us don't see ourselves in that way. I mean, most of us would say, well, that is wealth, but I don't think, you know, I have anything to do with that. So when he talks about the word wealth, he's talking about all that God has given you, all of your resources, all of your money. And so what I want you to see today is that Solomon was talking to his son. In fact, if you were to look through the book of Proverbs, you would discover that 23 times Solomon says, my son. My son, my son. He wants his son to understand some things about women that he didn't apparently understand. He wants his son to understand about relationships. He wants his son to understand about work, the power of that. We looked at that last week. Jared did a great job. He wants his son to understand a whole bunch of things. But what you do is when you read through the book of Proverbs, you discover that there are biblical principles about our money. So today I'm not going to talk about what you should do with your money. I want you to have a biblical mindset or view of how God sees your money. As a matter of fact, parents, you should write these things down. I'm going to give you 10 biblical ways that your kids need to think about money, and hopefully you'll teach them. Hopefully, if you've got grandkids, you'll teach them. These are so important. If you're in your 20s, man, if you get this, you're going to be way ahead of most of us in terms of the way we live out our lives. And so I'm so excited actually about this, because when Solomon says, my son, he's really talking to his son. And so I'm going to talk to you parents about talking to your kids and your grandkids. I did a little research actually, because I started noticing that. I thought, well, that's interesting. The research tells us that 28% of parents, only 28% of parents actually talk to their children about money beyond saying things like, well, you shouldn't buy that, or that's too expensive. 28% of parents actually give their children a biblical worldview of money or wealth or possessions. What would it be like if we were to learn from Solomon today, and that you could teach your kids and your grandkids, and those of you that are like, I don't have kids, well, that's okay, this is for, you know, for you as well. And for those of us that are way beyond raising kids, this is all of us, for us as well. And so I want you to see here that Solomon says, son, here are some biblical ways to think about money. I want to give you 10 of them. I'm going to get through them pretty quickly because the truth of the matter is they're pretty self-explanatory. I mean, I want you to see that there's a proverb behind them. Now, when you read Proverbs, they are riddles, and so you have to look at them and kind of study them. And so I put all of this for you on the app or on the website if you want to download it later and really take a look at it. So if you're a parent, jot these down. All 10 of these are important because as parents, let's make sure that our kids get this, our grandkids get this. But for those of you that perhaps may be on that season, even in your own life, sit back and, if you will, allow God to tap you on the shoulder with perhaps one of these biblical views that might help you today in terms of the way you're dealing with your own possessions and your own money in your own life. You ready to go? Parents, grab your pens. Here we go. Here's what Solomon says to his son. First thing he says, 10 principles, 10 biblical worldviews about money. Number one, he said, son, don't let your money be the focus of your life. Don't let the money be the actual purpose of your life. In other words, don't point your life at making money as the thing that you need to do. Certainly, you need to get a job, and certainly you should, you know, have an income. And that Solomon's not saying the opposite. He is saying, don't make money the focus of your life. God has a bigger purpose for you than that. Here's how he says it in Proverbs chapter 23. He says these words, do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist or to stop. Make sure that you don't make the focus of your life all about money. Nothing wrong with earning money. Nothing wrong with earning a lot of money. That's not what Solomon's saying. He's saying just don't make that the focus of your life. And then he goes on to say, when your eyes light on it, it's gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Solomon is saying something very, very important for us to teach our kids, and that's this, that as we're talking to them, we want our kids to understand, don't make money the focus of your life. Here's why, because it's disappointing if you do. It's like an eagle, it's just gonna fly away, your life will be disappointed, there's all kinds of things that you'll miss out in your life. Don't make it the point of your life. I've told you many stories about living in California when I was playing soccer and then, you know, working there as well in California. And I still remember the house of the guy that really was kind of a mentor to me in my life spiritually when I was in my 20s. And I remember the conversation still to this day that we had. I remember going to his house. He invited me. I was a single guy, you know, and he was a guy probably in his 50s, if I remember correctly, somewhere around there. He had been very successful, beautiful home in California, beautiful family. And so, you know, in some eyes, you might say, well, he's a very successful, maybe even a very wealthy person. And I remember being in the kitchen with him one evening, and I said to him, I said, man, you know, when I look at your life, I just hope that as my 20s that, you know, someday that I might be as successful as you are in your life. And he said these words to me, words that I'm sure you probably have heard before. He said, you do know that we put our pants on the same way, one leg at a time. Anybody ever hear that before, right? We put our pants on the same way, one leg at a time. And as a 20-year-old, I was a little sarcastic perhaps back then. I didn't say it out loud, but I was thinking to myself, well, that may be true, but we're wearing different pants. Like, he's got some designer jeans on. I got mine from Walmart. I mean, right? And so I'm like, that may be true that we put them on one leg at a time. And in that conversation, I remember that conversation because I think he was trying to help me to understand that money should not be and cannot be the focus of our life. Solomon is saying, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. We should be teaching our children that. Nothing wrong with working hard and earning an income. Money is a tool. It is not the goal. Is that right, church? Yes. It is not the goal if you're a follower of Jesus here today. Here's what Solomon is saying. The essence, really, of what he's saying is this, that purpose in life is not to become rich, but if you do, God has a purpose in it, even in that. Isn't that awesome? And so Solomon teaches this important lesson to his son, and hopefully we're going to be teaching our sons and daughters the same thing, that there's a lot in life. There's a lot that you can enjoy, and just like a bird that flies away, you will be disappointed if the purpose and focus of your life is all about money. That's principle number one. Here's principle number two that Solomon gives. He says, son, always trust God to meet your needs. Always, always trust God to meet your needs. He says it this way in Proverbs chapter 30. He says, two things I ask of you. So Solomon is talking to God, and he wants his son to overhear this. So Solomon is having a conversation with God, and he says this, two things I'm asking of you, God, that you deny them not before I die. In other words, I don't want to be this kind of a person. So he says, remove from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. So he's asking for two things. Number one, he says, look, I want to be an honest man. Help me to be an honest man. Help me not to be dishonest in my life. Secondly, he's saying, help me to understand that money and possessions are a great gift. They're a great gift for me. And then he goes on, and this proverb goes on, he says this, feed me with the food that is needed for me, lest I be full and deny you, he's talking about God, and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane or curse the name of God. So he's saying right there, as he's talking to his son, here's the warning, son. Here's the warning to our kids, to our grandkids. The warning is this, don't allow money to become your God. It can easily become God for us in our life and is a horrible God because that God of money does nothing for you. It does absolutely nothing for you. And so the warning that Solomon gives is don't allow money to be your God in life. Always trust God to meet your needs. But Solomon uses this hyperbole. It's really amazing as you read it. And certainly you should maybe focus on this. And if this is an area of struggle for you, you should read this proverb that I have for you and just sit on it for a little bit because he uses this incredible hyperbole. And on the one hand, he says, I don't want too much because if I have too much, then I might say, you know what, I don't need God. I don't need God. And really what he's getting at is there, well, that'll never happen. Because in life, we all know, and we should be teaching our kids this, that we always need just a little more. So even in this hyperbole, he's saying, oh, Ray, over here, you know, if I have too much, then maybe I'll forget about God, but I always need more. And then on the other side over here, he says, but if I have too little, then maybe I'm not going to care or think that God cares, or maybe I'll curse him in life. And that's just hyperbole as well, because he's saying there's sometimes in our life where there's just not enough. Solomon is warning his son, don't allow money to be your God. Of course, if you're a parent and you're trying to teach your kids, how would you teach them? Is there a practical application that you could teach your kids? Like, how would you teach your 10-year-old or 15-year-old, or for that matter, any one of us, how would we teach each other to understand not to allow money to be our God? Can I give you one? I could probably give you 50, but let me give you one practical principle that I think will really help us, especially for those of you parents, if you're trying to teach your kids about the biblical worldview about money, and that's this, that one of the ways that you can make sure that money does not become your God is to pray over every financial decision. Wouldn't it be awesome if you just taught your 10-year-old as you're going to Target or name the store, I don't know what it might be, and just to say, hey, son, daughter, why don't we pray about this? Because God cares. God cares about every aspect of our life. That's what Solomon's driving at. I mean, he's trying to get to the essence of it being just, you know, relationship and raw and right in the moment that we should be praying about every financial decision because he says, son, always trust God to meet your needs. Because if you don't, money will become your God. You will worship that and that will destroy you. Principle number three. He says this, son, your stuff must not, should not, doesn't define you. What you have doesn't define you. Some people may try to define you with it, but it doesn't. You and I can actually stand for that. You and I can actually, if you're a follower of Jesus here today, in your family, you can help your children to understand that our stuff does not define us. There's a reason why, I think Solomon says this, but let's look at the verse first. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7, he says, one pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, and yet has great wealth. Solomon is driving at something that's really deep here, and so hang with me. I think what he's saying here is that it's possible for us to have different mindset. It's possible for us to have one mindset where we might think we're better than those around us if we have more. Or another mindset might be that you might think you are less than those around you because you have less. And so Solomon is raising this, you know, this contrast, even in this situation, as he's talking to his son and wanting to make sure that his son understands that your stuff does not define you. Here's the implication. You ready for the implication? The implication really is this, that Solomon is saying that something else in your life should define you. We should help our children in understanding that there should be something God-given in your life that should define you. My wife knows, I've never told you, and I'm probably not going to ever tell you, because it's private to my own life. I'm hoping that at the end of my life, that maybe when there's a service, I don't know what it'll look like, but when there's an opportunity for people maybe to celebrate my life, when I transition from this place to the next place, because I'm so glad that this life is not all there is. Right, church? Come on. I'm so glad this is not all there is. And I hope that one day when I get to the place where my life is being celebrated and people, my kids and friends are looking back, I'm hoping that will come to the surface two words that I have chosen in my own life to define me. I've chosen those, and that's primarily because of a guy who wore some really nice jeans in California, because he told me who he wanted to be, and I thought, you know, I've never thought of that. And so way back in my 20s, I decided, here's how I wanted to be defined by, because I believe that this is what God wants me to be defined by. And I chose those two words. She knows about them, but you don't know about them. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Let me give you a report card. I'm working hard at this. I'm not there yet, but I'm working hard because these are the things that I want to be defined by. I think Solomon is implying here as he's talking to his son, you're going to be defined by something. Don't be defined by your stuff. It's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. Fourth principle, fourth way that we can have a biblical worldview of our finances and our money and our wealth. Number four, he says, son, be generous, because being generous blesses you as well. In other words, when you bless someone, certainly they're the benefactor because whatever it is and whatever you do blesses them. But son, you need to know that it's also a great blessing to when you are generous in your own life. Here's how he says it in Proverbs 11. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. He's really not talking about your bank account. He's not saying that if you're generous, that your bank account's going to get bigger, and if you're not generous, that your bank account's going to get smaller. He's actually talking about something that's much better than that. Frankly, we got to teach our kids that it's better than that, actually. Here's what he's saying. He's saying that when you live a generous life, your life gets bigger. It's more satisfying. You're more fulfilled. You'll see the world in color. You'll understand God and who he is better, because that's who God is. Am I right, church? That's who God is. And he says the opposite is also true, that if you're not generous, your life will get smaller and it shrivels and it's not as interesting and it's not as good in your life and you won't enjoy it as much in your life. And then he goes on and says this in Proverbs 11. He says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. Solomon is saying that the best way to find satisfaction in life is to constantly be asking yourself, how can I be generous? Because generosity blesses us as well. And don't you think our kids need to know that? It's funny, my grandkids, we got two of them. I tell you about them all the time. They live in Florida. And so we try to FaceTime them all the time. And we were using as much technology as possible to try to get their faces. And we tell stories and we do all kinds of things. Sometimes they call us. Sometimes we call them. What's really interesting is that the Amazon driver, they know my grandkids' home. Because my wife, we're sending like daily, maybe every other day. But it's a lot, right? And it's awesome, actually. But we're seeing stuff. And we're sending stuff there, toys. quick little things, you know, not much, but little things like this. And so we're on FaceTime with them, and it's so interesting. One's 4 years old, and one's about one, little over 1 year old. And it's amazing that on FaceTime, while we're talking to them, have this conversation with them, all of a sudden you hear this, and you know what I'm talking about if you're a parent. The four-year-old will grab it and say, "It's mine." Ever hear that, parents? Right? And it's so funny because if you stop and think about it, it's true. It is his truck. We sent it to him. We wanted to bless him and have him to be happy about some little dumb truck that, you know, he could kind of play with in his life. And it's true. It is his truck. But you see, as parents, we try to teach our kids, well, here's what we need to do. You need to share with your brother. Come on here. Help me out, parents, right? Share with your brother, because when you share, that's the nice thing to do. And it's true, it is nice that you share what you have with your brother. But I think Solomon is driving at something even deeper. Parents, catch this. He's saying that if we teach our kids that generosity blesses us as well, he's driving into the fact that generosity is one of the best godly character traits that you and I can live out. So as we teach our kids to share their toys, it's not just about being nice. It's actually better than that, that you get to act like God in the moment because you're being generous. You're offering to your brother or your sister. You're doing that out of generosity, and that's a godly trait that we get to build into our children because being generous blesses us as well. Principle number 5, Solomon says, "Son, listen up, son. Saving money is really wise." It doesn't mean you have a lack of faith. Saving money is actually wise. It's the wise thing to do. It doesn't mean you have a lack of faith. It's a wise thing. And he tells us that. We looked at this proverb actually last week. Jared helped us to look at it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 says this, "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways." Talking about the ant there. "Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, without any officer, without any ruler." Really pretty interesting, actually, that he says that. "She," that's the ant, "prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in harvest." I think what Solomon is saying here is this, that we need to be teaching our children that saving money is the wise thing to do. In fact, it's one of the ways that we can teach them to be responsible for their own life. What an important lesson for our kids, to know that they should plan ahead, that they should be careful with their money, that they ought to be responsible, that they should actually be thinking about it, because it is wisdom for our children to learn that you should set some money aside. You should do some things because that's the way you can take care of yourself. When you stand before God, you know who you're going to be responsible for? You got it. You and you only. We need to teach our children that they need to be responsible for their own lives. And that starts early on in their lives as they begin to grow and get older and older. I remember when, in 1998, when Kathy and I actually moved to Dayton, and we were getting our first mortgage on the house moving here, and we were putting everything we could together to try to, you know, get into this house and make sure that it was the right price and size and everything for us. And I still remember sitting down with the banker. He was sitting right to my left, right over here. And the banker said this, maybe you've heard this before. "Well, is there any more you can bring to the table?" Have you ever heard that before, right? Is there any more that you could bring to the table? And so we looked at our savings, because we were trying to do some savings, living overseas and so forth, and we said, no, this is all we have. And I was wearing a watch that's similar to like this, and he leaned over and he goes, "That's really surprising to me, because, you know, that's a $20,000 watch. And I said, "Well, it says Rolex on there, but I bought this in Malaysia for $30. And I go, "I'll sell it to you right now for $50. You can have it right now, you know? And so I learned in that moment that it's amazing how the world looks at us, and what we need to be seeing in our own lives is that we need to be saving and preparing for the future, planning for the future. We need to teach our children that. Principle number 6. Solomon says, "Son, God promises to provide for you." And if you're paying close attention, you're like, "Well, you just repeated yourself. I mean, didn't you just tell us that, you know, we should trust God for our needs?" It's different. Watch the difference. When Solomon says to his son, "Son, God promises to provide you," it's different than you trusting God for your needs. See, when you're trusting God for your needs, you're making sure that money is not your God. In this situation, it's completely different. Let me show you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3. He says, "The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked." How many of you know that sometimes we don't get what we want? Anybody know that? Any adults in the room that know that? Any one of our campuses? We know that. Solomon is talking to us here that there's going to be this constant challenge in our life. And here's the challenge between what you want in your life, between that which may God would provide for you. There's a challenge there. Because there are times in our lives where you want something that's different than what God might be providing for you in the moment. And Solomon is saying here, very different than what he just said about making sure that you don't make money your God. He's saying here, here's the essence. Write this down, parents. This is about contentment and the journey of contentment. That sometimes we don't get what we want, but we keep our eyes on him, the one who provides for us and promises to provide for us all the time. Son, God promises to provide for you. And so the journey is a journey of contentment. Learning how to live with contentment in our life is the very principle that I believe that Solomon is trying to teach his son right here. Principle number 7. And it gets a little harder. Ready for this? Here's what he says. Son, be really careful with debt. In fact, you might say, be really, really careful with debt. This is how he puts it in Proverbs chapter 22. He says, "The rich rule over the poor," and he's not talking about somebody who has more money than others. He's talking about institutions and people, so people could be included, but he's talking about the fact that the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is the slave of the lender. What Solomon is doing here is helping his son to understand some really important principles. All right, so listen in really carefully, church. This is really important. Solomon speaks about debt that you and I ought to be very, very cautious when it comes to debt. He emphasizes the dangers of debt. Now, I want you to hear this. Solomon is not saying that debt is wrong. Stay with me. He's saying that if you're not careful, debt will lead to a loss of freedom. You'll have more stress. It can lead to poverty and ruin in your life. You can be entangled. It can enslave you. It can burden you. It can affect your finances, certainly. It can affect your relationships. It can affect your marriage. It can affect everything in your life. Let me use a football analogy. You would get to the 50-yard line if you understood in the conversation about debt, if you understood the difference between secured debt and unsecured debt. Because Solomon is saying to his son, be really, really careful. He's talking about unsecured debt. Let me give you quickly the difference between the two, and you should research it for yourself, but here's the difference. See, secured debt is a debt you might have on a house, a debt you might have on a car. It has collateral. It's something related to the debt that you have. Unsecured debt is much more dangerous. In fact, Solomon would say, stay away. It's debt around consumer debt or credit card debt or revolving debt or personal loan debt, all around those. You'd get to the 50-yard line on this conversation as he's talking to his son saying, be really, really careful about debt. You'd get to the 50-yard line if you just understood the difference between those two kinds of debt. Now, you might be able to get to the end zone because you might have a personal conviction in your life that says, you know what, we want to live with no debt. Solomon would be okay with that. I'm okay with that. What I'm telling you is he's saying be really, really careful. But here's the point that he's really trying to drive in. Parents, write this down. Here's what we need to be teaching our kids. Live within your means. Am I right, church? That's what he's driving at. He's not saying all debt is bad. He's saying be really, really careful because there is debt that's going to destroy you and you should watch out for that. But it'd be really good if you could get to the end zone and have no debt. That'd be really awesome. But at the end of the day, it's about teaching our kids, teaching our grandkids to live within our means. How many of you know that's what God asks of us? That's what it means to be a steward, a manager. I think you all know that everything you have comes from God. It's yours because God has given it to you. And he asks us to manage it and to take care of it because it's so important for us to do that. And that's why we need to teach our children. Here's principle number 8. Solomon says to his son, put God first in everything. Oh, this is good right here. Wait till you see this. This is really good. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10, 9 and 10. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth. All right, now let me step back for a second and help you understand. When he mentions wealth, he's talking about every aspect of your life that is worth counting. Now let me tell you, is your time valuable? Yes or no, church? Yes, it's extremely valuable. That counts in terms of talking about wealth. Is your energy, the things that you participate in, the energy of your life, is that valuable to have the right kind of energy in life? Yeah, I would say that that's valuable. Is your money valuable? We ought to say, yeah, of course. I mean, that's kind of the conversation here. But I want you to see something. Here's what Solomon's saying. Honor the Lord with your wealth, everything. And with the first fruits of your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. I think Solomon wants us to help our kids to understand that if you spend all your time doing things that don't include God, you're not going to be thinking at all about God. So your time matters. In fact, coming to worship today, I just want to say well done for all of you in all of our campuses. Well done. You came here today because you wanted to focus on God. You wanted to give God some time. You wanted to think about God. And so I think Solomon's talking to his son, helping him to understand your time is valuable. And if you fill up your time with everything else but God, you won't think about God. You're not going to put him first. Same is true with our energy. How many of you know that your energy is directly related to your emotions? That when your energy is low, your emotions are low. Have you noticed that you're just a little bit more edgy when you're more tired? Have you noticed your patience level, parents, right? When you're tired, you know, if you've got a newborn, we get it. Some of us, we've been there, and so we understand your energy and your emotions are directly related. And so I think Solomon is saying to his son, be careful that you guard even some of your energy in order that you might have the right emotion in your life so that you could bless people, listen to people, engage in relationships, and make sure you have time for them, and you can walk with people. And of course, he's talking about money as well, so let's not miss that. He says, put God first in everything. He wants us to put God first in our money. And parents, we should think about that and what that means for us. Here's what Solomon is saying. Don't miss this. Here's the implication or what's beneath the surface of this proverb. He says this, when you honor God in every area of life, you keep your heart in the right place. Your heart is found in the right place. Anybody here agree with me that we need to help our kids to understand that their hearts need to be in the right place? And it's about your time, it's about your energy, and it's about the resources that God has given you. It's no wonder that Solomon says to his son, you got to put God first in everything. Everything. Well, there's two more. Here's the number 9, if you're paying attention or writing down, if you're a parent. Here's what he says. Son, financial success takes time and it takes energy. Isn't that great to know? I mean, I remember when I was in my 20s thinking, man, I hope I can make money really fast. And you know, I want to win the lottery and all those kinds of things. And Solomon says to his son, financial success takes time and it takes effort. That's why in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, we read, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Solomon is saying to his son, I can almost hear the conversation because I've kind of had similar ones with my 4 sons. Son, work is good. Work hard. Get there early, be the last one to leave. As an athlete, I was taught, be the first one on the field and be the last one off the field. If you want to be a good athlete, you got to get there first and you got to leave there last. You got to work, and you got to be there, and you got to be present. Don't expect to make a ton of money right away. You got to work hard. Here's the underlying implication. Parents, if you're taking notes, the implication is this, that we live through life with patience. And we've got to teach our kids to be patient. Because I know what my kids were when they were in my house. They were very impatient. They wanted it now. Does that sound familiar, parents? And so we got to teach our kids to be patient, that financial success, one of the biblical worldviews, biblical principles of finances, is that it takes time and it takes energy, and we engage day by day by day. Here's number 10. We did it. Can't believe it, right? 10 biblical principles. Here it is, number 10. Solomon says this, having a lot of money might make some things easier, but it won't solve all your problems. Here's what's really interesting. Here's where the rest of you who are maybe beyond parenting, I think you'd agree with me. This particular principle is so true the older you become. Is it not, church? That money, yeah, money is good and it makes life a little easier, but it won't solve all your problems. It just won't. It doesn't, in fact. Here's how Solomon says it in Proverbs chapter 13. He says, the ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but a poor man hears no threat. Solomon is not saying that if you have a lot of money, then you're worth a lot more, therefore the ransom might be higher. That's not what he's saying, even though it kind of looks like that. On the other hand, he's not saying that if you don't have a lot, that you're not worth a lot. And truth is, a ransom for you wouldn't matter because you just aren't worth that much. That's not what Solomon is saying. Here's what Solomon is saying. That true peace in your life comes from a close walk with God. Let's teach our kids that. Because financial success only brings temporary peace. Is that right, church? It's temporary. It's temporary at best, and it won't solve all of our problems. That we need to teach our children that, you know what, having something, having money, it is easier in many ways, but it doesn't solve all of our problems. Now, let me back away for a second from all of this. And let me make sure we're all on the same page here. Because we're reading Proverbs, which is in our Bibles that God has given to us as wisdom, that hopefully we won't go through life and not learn the kind of wisdom that God has given to us here through Solomon. But more than just the book of Proverbs, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, here's what we need to understand today about our lives. God, through Jesus Christ, pursues us relentlessly, died for us intentionally, offers grace to you and I freely, forgives us completely, invites us into a relationship personally, which is the most valuable gift we have. Amen. And we should teach our children that. Is that right, church? Amen. And so, man, what great advice from a father to a son or a daughter. What great advice. 10 biblical principles about money. What great advice. Truth is, you don't even have to be a parent today. You may not even have children. You may not even care about children. I don't know where you're at in your life, but here's what I would say. These 10 principles are great advice from our Heavenly Father to His sons and daughters. Because if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, you are a son of the King, and He cares. You're a daughter of the King, and He cares. And what He gives you is because He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants us to live in such a way where we're not built with just, you know, crushed with stress and falling apart because our lives are just in disaster. If we lived out these 10 principles, if our kids lived out these 10 principles, it would be absolutely life-changing. Would you agree, church? And so let's ask God to do that. Would you just bow with me for a minute? I want to pray for our families here today. For kids, elementary, high school kids, those of you that are in your 20s, if you get this, wow. God, I just pray that You'd be with us today. We thank You, Lord, for the book of Proverbs. It has so much wisdom. Sometimes we read it and at first it doesn't make sense and it feels a little awkward and feels like a riddle that we're trying to understand. And yet, Lord, when we sit with it And when we think through it, it is amazing what you say to us. Lord, there's not a person within earshot of my voice that doesn't struggle with the idea of money and possessions. We all do. And yet we want to teach the next generation. We want the next generation to understand principles that maybe we aren't even living ourselves. Lord, help us to be good examples, good models, that as we live this out, you would bring tremendous transformation. Lord, as we start again thinking about this year, 2025, may this be true for all of us, so that as we go through this year, that financially, Lord, we would become free and we would understand that you are the source, and that, Lord, money would not be our God, that you would be our God, that we would be generous and put you first and make sure, Father, that we live with contentment and patience, all those things that are so vital. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name I ask. And the church said, amen. Amen.